grab our hymnals, and we will stand for 67. Hymn 67 is... Oh, by the way, speaking of the website, I think we're going to break... I think we're going to break another record on most sermons posted. Our website now has 229 sermons to listen to. And as you, every week it goes up by three. So, I've never seen a website with that many sermons. So, it's unlimited. Our space is unlimited. So, that's what I love about our site. Praise the Lord. Hymn number 67, folks. First, third, and fourth. And let's stand. Aren't you glad that Elvina Hall was able to write the words to "Jesus Paid It All"? Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad he did. Amen.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength in need is small. Shout of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Indeed, church, please be seated. What a blessing to know that my sins are gone, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Second stanza reads, "Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone." I'm so glad he melted my stony heart one day, October 3rd of 1986. Amen. And I know that you too can point back to that blessed day that Jesus made the change in your life. Glory to God. Let's grab our Bibles tonight and open up to the book of Philippians. We will be getting back to Galatians probably next Wednesday night. But tonight, Philippians chapter number 4. I've got a special message for you in Philippians chapter number 4. But before I get to my text, let me say this. About a few weeks ago, I preached a message on heirship, Romans chapter 8, the doctrine of heirship. And my sister had me cracking up on the way home. And I was dropping off people. Me and Miriam were dropping some people off after church. And my sister was one of them, our church secretary, Ellie. She says to me, "Pastor, you know," she says, "for halfway through your message, I thought you were preaching on some kind of a blimp, some kind of an heirship." And I said, no airship. She says, you know, your Boston, your New England accent is so heavy. I thought it was some kind of a Goodyear blimp. Oh, she made me laugh. We do have fun around this place, I'll tell you that much. But here in Philippians chapter 4, beloved, before we read our text, let me say this. I find that many of God's people, they're saved, they're born again, they're on their way to heaven, but they're fretting, worrying, nervous about things that may even never happen. And I want to preach a message tonight that I've entitled, The Cure for Worrying. The Cure for Worrying. In Philippians chapter number 4, please stand with me for the reading of God's Holy Word. We'll read one verse, pray, and preach. Tonight in Philippians chapter 4, look with me at verse number 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I want to speak to you on the cure for worrying. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight that there is a divine remedy for worry. Lord, I thank you tonight that because of who you are, we do not have to be anxious or worry about anything at all in our lives. Because, Lord, you've got it all under your thumb. You've got it all in control. And we can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and lean not to our own understanding. And we can know that the Son of God is in charge of every area of my life. And that He will see me through any trial, difficulty, temptation, or need. Jesus is with me. And I will not fear what man shall do. Bless your word now, O God. And we thank you for the cure for worrying found in the 6th verse of chapter 4 of Philippians. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, yes, indeed, man, as Job said, is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. He is launched on the storm-tossed sea of life from birth. He is a reed which grows up to be shaken of the wind. There are thorns in the roses and sorrows in the mirth. Beloved, let's face it, this life has its share of trials and heartaches and disappointments to which none of us are exempt. But right here in Philippians 4 and verse 6, we find the Holy Spirit giving us a golden nugget, a great truth for the child of God. And that is that we have a God to carry us through, and we don't have to worry about anything whatsoever because our God is in control. He's sovereign over the universe. I see a threefold cure for worrying here in verse 6. First, we must be careful for nothing. Second, we must be prayerful in everything. Third, we must be thankful for anything. First of all, tonight, beloved, let's examine the cure for worrying. The first step is that we must be careful for nothing. Look with me in verse number 6. We read, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Now, to be careful, the Greek word there, it means to be anxious, to have anxiety, to be nervous or fearful or uncertain about a situation. It's to be full of worry. That's what the word careful means, to be full of worry. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. But why, Paul? Why would you tell us that? I see four reasons why. We don't have to be careful for anything. First, because there are higher considerations. Look with me in Matthew chapter 6. The first reason why you don't have to worry over anything is because there are higher considerations for you, child of God. Look in Matthew chapter number 6. Look with me at verse 24. Words in red. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Don't be double-minded. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. He's saying, don't worry. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. Now, Jesus is going to give us a great illustration here to teach us not to worry. Watch. Behold the fowls of the air. You know what we were doing at Colin Carroll's this afternoon, having a beautiful cookout, feasting on the burgers, were so good. But we're looking over, Mary and I are looking over these cute little beautiful colored birds. Look at that cute little bird, you know, just pecking away at the bird seed. You know what I thought to myself? That little bird is not worried about a single thing. Amen. Nothing. He's not worried for nothing. He has everything he needs because he was made by Jesus Christ. Look at it. Take no thought for your life. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?
Amen.
Which of you, by taking thought, can add only a cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Time out. Verse 30, Jesus says that the reason you worry is because you don't have enough faith. You see that? Verse 30, O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Most people in this world are more concerned with carnal things than spiritual things. And Jesus is trying to get them to seek the higher things, to consider the things of God, and not worry about the materialistic possessions. Amen? Oh, beloved, the first reason why we don't have to be careful for nothing is because there are higher considerations. But secondly, why don't we have to worry for nothing? Because someone is caring for you. Amen? Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm so glad tonight that somebody who is omnipotent is caring for old Bob Oliver. Yep. Somebody who is unlimited in his power and ability to do all things well. 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, this is so good. Look at this. Verse number 6. Someone cares for you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of who?
God.
That he may exalt you in due time, casting some of your care. By the way, that Greek word care in verse 7 is the same Greek word as Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, care for nothing. Same Greek word. Casting all your care, that's worry, upon him. Why, Peter? For he cares for you. That's a good reason not to worry. God cares for you. And when God is on your side, and God cares about every little thing in your life, you don't have to worry about anything. He's got it under control. I don't care what the devil throws at me. My God is in control.
Amen.
Now, I don't have to worry or be careful or be anxious because someone else is caring for me. Someone who is able to take care of any problem I face. Thirdly, why don't we have to worry for anything? Because the affairs and circumstances of life are entirely beyond our control. Do you realize that? Look at me back in Matthew. Back to Matthew chapter 5. The circumstances and situations of this life are completely beyond your control. Your only recourse is prayer. And that's a good thing. Amen. I'm glad I'm not in control. But I was in control of that lady that cut us off today, honey, or that you wanted to punch. No. I might have put her car in a ditch if I was God, you know? That's road rage. But chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5. Look at me at verse number 33. 33. Jesus says again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Oh, we could camp there for a while. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Now, that's not true in all cases. My wife has given me a number of white hairs. No. I'm going to get myself in the doghouse here quick. Folks, you can't change the color of your hair. Right? You hear that, yeah. No, you cannot change one cubit of your stature. You cannot change the color of your skin. You can't do it. But someone else can. You and I, listen, we do not have the ability to change circumstances or people in our lives. Therefore, why should we worry about it? Instead, we pray about it to the one who can change that circumstance and that person. You know what we do? We try to change people. And you know what happens to us? We get frustrated. Frustrated! Because we're trying to do it instead of letting the Lord do it. I learned a long time ago, don't try to change that person. Don't try to twist their arm and bend them to your will. Just pray about that person. God knows what's best, and in his timing, he'll take care of it as he sees fit, not me. Fourthly, why should we not worry? Fourthly, because nothing is too great or small for God to handle. Amen? Matthew chapter 19. Nothing is too great or small for our God to take care of. Look at it. In Matthew 19, look with me at verse 23. 23, words in red. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily, that's truly, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. His disciples immediately say, oh, no rich people are going to heaven then, right? Wrong. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get them to take their eyes off of their own abilities, off of their own selves, and put them on the one who can do something. God. Amen? We don't have to worry because God is able to handle any problem, big or small, that I may encounter. There's nothing in your life or mine, beloved, that God can't handle. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout to all ages. Amen? Nye tells of a great leader, Bulstrode Whitlock, who presided over Sweden some centuries ago. He said, the president, Whitlock, was unable to sleep one night, for he was so disturbed in mind over the state of his nation. His servant, observing his anxiety, said, Mr. President, sir, may I ask you a question? Certainly you may, Whitlock replied. Well, sir, Mr. President, do you think that God was able to govern the world very well before you came into it? Certainly he was. Then please pardon me, sir, but do you not think that you may trust him to govern it as long as you live in it? And with that, the president smiled and fell asleep. Amen? The president of Sweden. He fell asleep because he knew that God was in control and not him. Folks, that's one thing we need to learn. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything because he's in control, not me. I don't have to sweat it. I'm so glad. But something else in the cure for worrying. First, be careful for nothing. Second, be prayerful in everything. Be prayerful in everything. Back to our text in Philippians 4. Look at it, verse number 6. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In everything by prayer and supplication. Now, beloved, if there is one thing that this Bible teaches, it is this. Our God wants us to come to him by prayer in everything. Do you know that? Do you realize tonight that your Heavenly Father wants you to bring your desires, petitions, needs, and concerns before his throne? What father, I'm talking a good one, would not want his child who was hungry to ask him for a piece of bread? What child who saw his, I'm sorry, what father who saw his child in the wintertime without a coat, freezing and shivering, would not do anything to get him a coat? What good father? How much more your heavenly Father, who careth for you, is concerned about you, and says, be prayerful in everything by prayer and supplication. You know, old John R. Rice, the great old preacher, he once said, prayer is asking, supplication is begging. Supplication is strong crying unto God. I see three reasons why we should be prayerful in everything. First, we should be prayerful in everything because we have the privilege of prayer. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. We have the privilege that the world does not have. Did you know tonight, folks, that God won't hear the prayers of a lost man? He won't. It doesn't matter how bad his pickle, his situation might be, God won't hear his prayer. There's only one prayer he wants from a lost man, and that is the prayer of salvation. Other than that, they're up a creek without a paddle. You, on the other hand, have the privilege of prayer. Chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what Paul is saying right there? He's saying, you go before God's throne and you tell him what you need. He says he wants you to come, and notice the adjective in verse number 16, boldly. Boldly. You know, once Abraham Lincoln was in the Oval Office of the White House, and a little boy came up, and the guard outside the door said, go away, little boy, go away. Little boy said, I want to talk to the president. Go away, go away. The president's busy. Lincoln overheard this commotion, opened the door, and said, let him in. And the guard said, but sir, he said, let him in. And the little boy came in, and he jumped up in Abraham Lincoln's arms and said, Daddy. He said, you let him in anytime he wants. Amen? You can come to God anytime you want. He's your heavenly Father. Glory to God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. I'm in a continual mode of prayer. What is prayer, Val? What is prayer? Begins with a C. Communicating with God. That's right. Communicating with God. She told me last time. That's what it is. Communicating with God. Talking to God. That's prayer. You can do that driving down Route 93. You can do that at work, and I do regularly. Why? Because prayer without ceasing is not hitting the altar and weeping and getting on your face before God, though that's a good thing to do. It's communicating with God wherever you are. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know what prayer will do? It'll keep you from passing out spiritually. You know what we've got today? We've got a lot of Christians that are passed out. They're just out, man. No use whatsoever to God. Why? They quit praying. You quit praying, you will not be effective to God. Why? Because it is our privilege. We have an advantage because we have an altar that they have no part in. Secondly, why should we pray in everything? Because of the power of prayer. James, flip ahead past Hebrews to James. Right before Hebrews, I should say. Used to be in my Bible. I went right over it to Peter. All right, James chapter 5. We should pray because of the power of prayer. If we only understood the power of prayer. Look with me at verse 16. Chapter 5. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. That's having somebody to confide in. Somebody you can trust in. They're not going to blabber mouth and gossip about you. And pray one for another, that you may be healed. Why, James? Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And guess what? It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Wow. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Notice the power of prayer. Elijah stopped the heavens for 3.5 years. How? By prayer. By prayer. Prayer, we have the privilege of prayer because we are God's children, and we have the power of prayer because prayer moves mountains. Amen? Listen, prayer engages the infinite, omnipotent power of Almighty God personally into your little problem. Ephesians 6:18, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in everything, that a door may be opened unto us, Paul said. Thirdly, why should we be prayerful in everything? First, because it's our privilege. Second, because of the power of prayer. Third, because our God puts no limit on our prayer. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I am glad tonight that God doesn't put a limit on what you can pray. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look with me in verse 31. Paul says, by the Holy Spirit, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness, same Greek word, worry. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. He says, I want you to be without worry, without carefulness. Why? Because our God puts no limit upon prayer. Listen, to be without carefulness is to be worry-free. You ever met a person who's worry-free? You like being around them. They're so positive. They're so full of life and vigor and vitality. They just, something about them, you know? The way to be worry-free is for you and I to pray about everything in our life. I'm so glad tonight that there is nothing we may not ask our Father about on bended knee. Prayer is unlimited. Whatever your need might be, bring it before the Lord. I like that in Hezekiah, when the Assyrians encompassed Jerusalem round about, they were going to destroy every man, woman, boy, and girl in that city. And you know what he did? He went in, got along with God, and the Bible says he spread it before the Lord. He spread it before the Lord. You know what happened after he did? That same night, an angel of the Lord went out and smote of the Assyrians 185,000 footmen. Wow. You talk about the power of prayer. Harry Jones said, do not reserve prayer for the grand and difficult occasions and think that you can manage well enough in all the little trifles. For without God, you can do nothing well, not the smallest. Get into the habit of referring everything to him. For nothing is too slight to be brought before him who made the earth worm as well as the archangel. Nothing is too frequent for him who regulates the pulse of the sluggard as well as the planets continuous sailing through space. No, you cannot appeal to him too often, for he is never tired or weary of hearing from his children. Wow, he was right. Our God is never tired of hearing our voice come into his ears. Never. He always wants you to come to him. We must be careful for nothing. We must be prayerful in everything. But thirdly tonight, the cure for worry, we must be thankful for anything. Thankful for anything. Back to our text in Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We must be thankful for anything as we pray. Now listen, the word thanksgiving in verse 6 comes before the request being made known at the end of verse 6. You notice that? You know, it's important to read the chronology of the Bible because he's saying you give God thanks no matter what the answer might be. You thank him anyway. Amen? You thank him for the good, you thank him for the bad. Listen, with thanksgiving, that is being thankful for whatever answer God gives, because whatever our God sees best to provide in any situation is what is best for the answer to that prayer. He knows, you know, Father knows best. Father knows best, amen? I'm so glad. This is to rest in his perfect will. This is praying in faith. This is praying with gratitude. This is praying with thanksgiving. I see two reasons why we need to be thankful for anything. First, because we do not deserve anything but God's wrath. Amen? We don't deserve anything except the wrath of God. We're guilty sinners, saved by grace. Look with me in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We don't deserve anything except the wrath of God. Look in Romans chapter 3 at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at verse chapter 6, verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. See that? That's what you and I deserve. And that death there is speaking about the second death, which is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. That's what I deserve. I'm not getting that because of the grace of Jesus Christ. But because that's what I deserve, and I'm getting eternity in heaven, how can I not be thankful? How can I not be grateful for whatever the Lord allows into my life? Every single descendant of Adam has broken God's laws. And we're all guilty. We're all deserving of God's wrath because of sin. Therefore, Paul says, in everything, give thanks. Everything. You know, when you put that truth into your heart and you ponder that truth, you'll realize why Paul said, in everything, give thanks. When you realize you deserve hell, you deserve wrath, you deserve eternal separation from your Maker, but you're getting eternal life in heaven, you realize that, you know what? I really should give God thanks in everything, whether it be good or bad, because I'm already on my way to heaven. How can I not be thankful? So the first reason we need to be thankful for anything is because we do not deserve anything but God's wrath. The second reason we should be thankful for anything is because ingratitude is one of the worst of sins. You know God hates ingratitude? Go with me to Romans chapter 1. You know what we have today? We have a generation of ingrates. They're not thankful for anything. They think everything should be handed to them on a silver platter, and they want it now. If you don't do it right, they might slap you. I'm telling you, this is an evil generation, folks. It's scary. They're a bunch of spoiled brats. They don't fear God, and they think that God owes them. Look with me in Romans chapter 1 if you don't believe me. Look at verse 18. This is powerful. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Why? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were what?
Thankful.
They weren't thankful for what they had, but became vain in their foolish imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I'm going to make a statement, church, tonight. Any man who is ungrateful, unthankful to God who gave him life, is a fool. That man is a fool. Any man who rejects the love of God in Jesus Christ His Son is a fool. A fool. A fool. Because they're rejecting the hand of infinite love that died for their personal sins. Wow. You know why they reject Him? Because they're unthankful. And they're ingrateful. Oh, beloved. Tonight, how we need to thank God. Listen carefully. Thankless hearts are like scentless flowers. And how thankless is this wicked world today toward God, who daily loadeth them with benefits? Beloved, let me make a statement. Ingratitude breeds bitterness. Did you hear what I said? Ingratitude breeds bitterness. When you're not thankful to that person, more importantly, to God, for all he has done for you, or all that person has done for you, you become bitter. You get to the point where you expect it. Why didn't you get my breakfast made yet? And why didn't you take that trash out? And you become bitter. You become bitter. But how much more when it concerns God? When God gives us food to eat, and houses, a roof over my head, a bed to sleep in, a beautiful wife and family, a job so I can make money, all the necessities of life. And to stick their fist up in the face of God and say, I don't care. That's this generation. I don't care. Oh, it's scary, beloved. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll finish up. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Oh, beloved, how we need to be thankful. In everything, grateful to our God. He's so good to us, and we don't deserve it. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice evermore. Not talking to the world, save people. Pray without ceasing in everything. Give what?
Thanks.
Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Concerning you. Beloved, listen to me tonight. I've spoken about the world out there being ungrateful. They don't know any better. They don't know Jesus Christ. But you do. And I do. Amen. You are accountable and responsible to live a life of gratitude. A life of thankfulness. A life of appreciation. For all he's done. I see tears on faces tonight because you know what I'm talking about. So thankful for what he's done in my life. How can I not praise him? Yes, we must be thankful in everything because every single one of us is getting so much better than we really deserve. Dr. Franklin says that when the Puritans came to New England and endured great hardships, it was proposed that they proclaim a day of fasting. Miles Standish arose and spoke of their provoking heaven with their complaints. Standish reviewed all their mercies received and showed that they had much to be thankful for. And so, Miles Standish moved to appoint, instead of a day of fasting, a day of thanksgiving. This was done, and the custom has continued ever since. We celebrate Thanksgiving because of Miles Standish. He said, we need to be thankful. Let's commemorate a day, a whole day of thanking God for all of our blessings. Oh, beloved, tonight, the cure for worrying? Be careful for nothing. Be prayerful in everything. Be thankful for anything. In closing, let me give you this. There was once a poor old woman named Nancy who earned a precarious living by hard labor working in the cotton fields. But she was a joyful, triumphant Christian. A rather gloomy Christian lady met her one day coming out of the fields. Ah, Nancy, she said despairingly. It is well enough to be happy now, but I should think that the thoughts of your future would sober you. She went on to say, just suppose you should have a spell of sickness and be unable to work. Or suppose your employer should move away and you find yourself in the street. Or suppose you stop! Stop at once, cried Nancy. I never suppose. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And honey, she added to her gloomy friend, it's all them supposes that is making you so miserable. You'd better give them all up and just trust the Lord. You know what that old gal had? She had the cure for worrying. She had the cure for worrying. Be careful for nothing. Be prayerful in everything. Be thankful for anything. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for verse 6 of Philippians 4. Lord, I'm so thankful that the cure for worrying is right before our eyes. We don't have to worry about anything. Why? Because, Lord God, we can pray about everything. And thirdly, Lord, we can be thankful in everything. Lord, we thank you tonight for the message. And I pray that a whole bunch of us would take and apply this to our Christian lives. Lord, it'll make us humble. Oh, yes. When we realize all that you've done for us. And we realize that our eternity, our eternal future and present is in the palm of your hands. We won't be worried about anything. We'll charge hell with a squirt gun because we'll know who is on our side.
and who holds our hand and who butters our bread and who takes care of every need in our lives? Jesus Christ and Him alone. We love you tonight and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals for a closing hymn. And open up to hymn number 13. Hymn 13 says it all. All hail the power of Jesus' name. All four. Let's stand. Yes, Lord.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth of royal diadem a crown of honor. Bring forth.
One of these days, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King and crown Him. Brother Kyle, dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget, prayer meeting immediately to follow.
We thank you once again, Lord, that we gather in your house. We can just come before you to give you the praise and the glory for all you bestow upon us. We pray, Lord, that you would keep us ever mindful, Lord, that without you we'd be nothing, we'd have nothing, and we would not have a thing going for us in this world, but our own wherewithal, which is would lead us to truthful destruction, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have you. We have your love and grace, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for your salvation, Lord, that a free gift that we have nothing to work for to gain it, Lord. We have only to trust in you and to walk with you, Lord. And to call upon you when you're there for us, and we just praise you, Lord, that you're always there for us, you're always watching out for us, you're always guarding us, Lord, and keeping us out of trouble, and watching over us. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be with us forever. You'll guide us, you'll keep us in the path you have for us, Lord. You'll keep us steadfastly walking with you, and you'll guide our footsteps and keep that light shining as a pathway for us, so that we don't stumble. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.